Good morning. I greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It indeed is a beautiful morning to be in the house of the Lord and to sit under the preaching of His Word. I was richly encouraged this morning already. excuse me. We heard so much this morning that each one of us can go home filled. We truly did. We heard of the Lord giving us rest. I'm going to read Isaiah 55. I'm going to read this chapter, and then I would like to hear from you. We heard of a beautiful promise this morning, an invitation to come. And I was just thinking, I wonder how many of those invitations come to your mind. And I thought if you have one, share it when I'm done reading here. If you have an invitation, because Isaiah 55 says, gives us a beautiful invitation right there at the first verse. And Simeon gave us a beautiful invitation this morning to come unto the Lord. And so we'll take a minute, and if you have one, I would like to hear from you. So let's read this chapter and then we'll pray. Excuse me. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you unto singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let's pray. Eternal Father, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together as a people of God. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to gather here to worship you freely. Lord, as I just consider the words we have heard this morning, a beautiful invitation to come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. A beautiful promise that you'll give us rest. Oh Lord, I pray God that today you would not let these words, your word that has gone forth this morning, Lord,
I pray that it would not return void. You said it will not, but I pray, God, that it would bring forth fruit. Lord, I pray, God, today that you would speak to each one of our hearts. Wherever we're at, God, today, maybe there's some here that just need encouragement. Maybe there's some here that need admonition. Lord, exhortation, correction, just inspiration to press on. Lord, your Spirit, would you send it here to minister to each one where we're at? Lord, I thank you that you are part of this service. You say we're one or two, or two or three are gathered. You are here in our midst. We thank you for being here. And God, we pray that you would help our hearts to be unhindered today and focus on worship, Lord. Help our minds to be clear, to be able to focus and worship to you, God. And that, Lord, that we would allow you to speak to our hearts. Lord, that your truth would have its will and way in our lives, God. Father, I pray that you would now give me clear thoughts. I pray that your Spirit, Lord, would direct the words I say for your glory and honor and for the edification of these your people, Lord. So thank you, Father, and we just pray, be with us in Jesus' name now. Amen. We have a beautiful promise here that anyone that thirsteth can come to the water. He has an invitation to come to the Lord. Any of you have any other beautiful invitations that the Lord gave us that come to your mind? Anyone? Simeon gave us the one this morning of, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, come get rest. Anyone? Isaiah 1:18 says, come now. Come now, let us reason together. Any others? Anyone? Go ahead.
Knock and it shall be
open. Knock and it shall be open. Amen. Any others? Draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. Beautiful. Beautiful promises from the Lord. Invitation to come. Any others? An invitation to look unto God and be saved. Because there's no other place to look but to God. Any others? Okay, if you think of some and you want to share it later, that's fine. But I was just thinking this morning as I was just pondering what to share. And I was just thinking of Isaiah 55. Just some thoughts from there, hoping that God would bless us. And he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. An invitation to come. And to have the finest things for free at God's expense. And this is a beautiful invitation of fellowship with God. And through this scripture, it talks about the sure mercies of David. You know, David, God promised that someone's going to, from his lineage, will sit on his throne forever. Jesus Christ sits on the throne forever. and we can come and to Jesus Christ and find this delight, this living water, and we can be full. He says, why are you laboring for that which doesn't satisfy? But he's inviting us to come and to eat that which is good and to let our soul, delight itself in fatness. Delight itself in the good things that God has for us. He tells us to incline our ear and come unto me. Hear and your soul shall live, because he says, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. Another beautiful verse, Simeon read it this morning. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Find an eternal rest for our souls. Beautiful. And he says, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Beautiful invitation. I had the verse written down as well in Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. An invitation to come. To come and have all your longings, the thirst for all those longings quenched. The complete satisfying fulfillment fulfilled. But there's one stipulation here that we are given in these offers from God. Does anybody know what it is? There's one stipulation throughout these offers from God. Does anybody know what they are? Let the wicked forsake their way. There's another one that I'm thinking of. You must thirst. You know, many people come to God and they want that ticket. They want that ticket. I got it. I got glory land bound. Right here it says it. If I believe, I'm there. They just want a ticket. They're not thirsty. They just don't want the other side of the coin. They just want a ticket. That'll never hold through eternity. You must thirst. You and I, if we want fulfillment in Jesus Christ, we must come to Him as thirsty people. Jesus says, Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They thirst after right living, doing things God's way, righteousness, right doing. They thirst after God, the blessed man. Jesus invited this woman at the well, if you drink from this water, you'll never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. This woman says, give me that water. I mean, I come here every day to get water. Give me that water so I don't ever have to thirst again. And Jesus told her about going back and telling your husband. And she says, I don't have one. And Jesus told her her history. And she went back and told the people. And she demonstrates a thirsty person. He also tells her that you won't worship me. There's time coming. You're not going to worship in this mountain or at Jerusalem. But you're going to worship in truth and in spirit. A thirsty people that get to worship a holy God in truth and in spirit. We don't have to make this trip to the mountains of Samaria where they was worshiping. We don't have to make this trip to Jerusalem to the tabernacle. But we today can worship God where we're at, in truth and in spirit. To me, that's a glorious thing. But there is one stipulation given here, and everyone that comes must be thirsty. Mark said, you must depart from your wicked ways. That is also a call from God. We'll get to that a little further. God invites us to come. In Revelations there it says, whosoever will may come. It's not a people group. It's not just this sect of people. But when Jesus Christ went to the cross, He was resurrected. He's now seated at the right hand of the Father. There will be from every tribe, tongue, and nation. It's no longer just the nation of Israel, but it's for whosoever will may come. But in all that, that big invitation, the only ones that are going to benefit from it are those that are thirsty, those that are tired of sin in their lives. The only ones that are going to benefit from it. Until that happens, you won't benefit from this. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Through Jesus Christ, he has allowed all nations access to him. Through Jesus Christ. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. There's some more stipulations here. You're thirsty? You want some refreshing water? You're tired of the life you're living? Sick of the sin, the pain, the guilt? He says, come. He says, but you must forsake your wicked ways. You must be thirsty, and you must also forsake your wicked ways. You must forsake your unrighteous thoughts. Come. You're welcome to come. You're welcome to come. But you got to be willing to give it all up. To give it all up. All those secret sins, every one of them, out before the light of the gospel. Nothing hidden. Come unto me. Come unto me and experience life. Forsake the wicked way. Forsake, leave, go away from. Have nothing to do with. Forsake, turn away from your unrighteous thoughts. You know, the world. What is the world? I think we read it in John. It is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Would that not fit in a life of unrighteous thoughts? The world. We've got to turn away from the world. We must forsake, the wicked must forsake his wicked ways, and an unrighteous man his thoughts. But I want to encourage us, while it is yet today, to seek the Lord and to call upon him. Because tomorrow may not be yours. Tomorrow may not be yours. This beautiful invitation from God. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come. I paid the way for you. You don't even have to spend money. It's paid for. Forsake your wicked ways. Forsake your unrighteous thoughts. Come and find life. And the beauty, when he gives us that invitation, the beauty, he says, let him return unto the Lord. God has created each one of you for his glory. It's what Isaiah tells us we were created for, was for his glory. And we have departed. We have gone our own way as shepherds without a sheep. He says, return unto the Lord. Forsake your wicked ways. Return unto the Lord. Come back to Him. Beauty that God didn't have to extend to us. A rebellious creation. He didn't have to extend that to us. But He did. He did. He says, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. If you return to God, He's going to have mercy on you. Return to Him, and He's going to pardon you abundantly. No, not just a little bit. Not just, no, you remember that sin? I'm going to take most of it away. But you're going to pay this price. You're still going to. No. Under the blood, He says, I remember it no more. Isn't that beauty? Isn't that glorious? The God, the Creator of heaven, in all His righteousness, chooses to not destroy a creation of His, but rather to redeem them. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. I want to say, in my carnal mind, that's the most unreasonable thing that I've heard. Think about it. Creator God, and He has a rebellious creation, and He says, come, let's reason together. And He sends His Son to redeem us. In our carnal nature, that's unreasonable. We say, justice, they're going to pay. We still do that today sometimes, don't we? In our lives, we get hurt. These pains that are deep. Yeah, I forgive you, but, God never did that with me. And according to His Word, He never did that with any of you. That's not righteousness. That's carnality. And that'll never make it to eternity with Him in glory. Forgiveness as God forgave. No grudge, no bitterness, free. But you know, we're in the flesh. We wrestle. We get hurt. We have feelings. Jesus Christ was in the flesh, and He suffered all these things like as we did. He can relate to us. We can forgive. He forgave. We can have that victory. It is unrighteousness for us to hold that grudge, to be carnal-minded. But rather, let us return unto the Lord our God and find that mercy and that abundant pardon. I can't describe that abundant pardon to you, except for that I was a lost sinner and bound for a Christless eternity. And I sat at the brink of it one day. I sat there in the balance between life and death. And they said, we lost Him. That was me. But today, friends, I'm telling you, I've experienced an abundant pardon and a forgiveness that I didn't deserve. That invitation is for each one of you to come and find rest for your soul. Maybe I don't know what you're doing. I don't know your secret life. I don't know that life of lust that you have hidden in there. Of the eyes and of the flesh. And that pride of life. Selfish living, it's all for me. Maybe I don't know those details. But I'm going to tell you something. That God that forgave me does. He sees you just like I see you today. You're right here, clear. I can see you. He sees you more clear than that because He sees all the way into your thoughts, into your heart, into the very being. He knows what makes you tick. That God wants to give you rest. You don't have to bear that guilt. You don't. You may have the liberty today to go live how you want to. And nobody knows in secret. Maybe in secret you've got a secret relationship that is forbidden by God. There's no blessing from your parents. Maybe you have this addiction to drinking, smoking, vaping, drugs. Maybe that's you and nobody knows it. Maybe you've got this problem of gossip, of being a talebearer. And for the most part, you keep it covered. Pray for them. Did you know? Really pray for them. They have needs. God will not accept that. He will not. It is unrighteousness. It is unrighteousness. It won't stand in His presence. It won't. God knows the secrets of our hearts. God knows the secrets of our hearts. We need to take this call, this invitation that God gave, we need to take it serious. We need to take it serious. A young man, the other morning, early a.m. hours in a community, you've heard of it, a bicycle accident, smashed his face. God spared him. God spared him. He's going to live with the consequences of that accident. But God spared him. He still has today to repent. But knowing from what I have heard, it sounded like a Christless eternity had he died that way. And we think we can just go on through life. Go on through life. I'm a young man. I'm a young lady. I'm middle-aged. And I'm not 80 yet. I'm not that old. No, my friends. You are not promised tomorrow. You are not. So I want to invite you today to do business with God. Come. He says, come. Everyone that's thirsty, come. If you are heavy laden, if you're burdened down with sin and guilt, and you want freedom, He says, come. I will give you rest. He Himself will give you rest. And I'm going to testify, it's a beautiful rest. There is a rest for the people of God. And we experience that today. And there's even yet a greater rest coming for the people of God. And that's on the other side of this life. I want to invite you, friends, to come get rest. You may live however you want to. But God sees you. Years ago, I want to just warn us that God's Word is going forth today. You're hearing God's Word today. You've heard it since the first person that stood up here this morning. We sung words of worship to God today. You've heard exhortations, warnings, invitations today. I want to plead with you. Don't harden your heart. You may not get another day. You may not. This word's going forth, and this seed is falling. What ground is it hitting? Is it stony ground where it's not going to take much depth? It's going to sprout up. Yeah, I want to do what's right. Yeah, I don't want to go to hell. And when we're trying to be Christians now, and there's no depth there. Just a little bit of trouble comes our way and we're like, woo, and we wilt and it's done. Nah, I don't want nothing to do with that. It's done. It's gone. Or is our heart in such a way that it's this beaten path where everybody walks down? This driveway out here, it's beaten down. Everybody drives on. It's hard. You're not going to grow anything there. It's not going to be a fruitful garden. Matter of fact, you drop seeds there, the birds are going to fly over and take them. Is our heart so hard that the fowls of the air, as soon as that seed drops, come pick up and they leave with it? I want to invite us. Open our hearts. Time, my friends, is running out. I spoke to a man some time ago. And you know, when you don't have a right perspective, God, Creator God, He is a just God. He will judge the earth. He will judge each one of us. If we don't have that right perspective, and yet He's our Father for those of us that have repented. When we have a wrong concept of God, we start talking to Him sometimes in the way of relating to Him like He's just somebody on our level. This man said, I shared with him, we was having a conversation. He said, no, I live a good life. I treat people how I want to be treated. I think that's fair. I don't do bad things to people because I don't want to be treated that way. And I live a good life. And he's not accepting Jesus Christ's atonement for his sins. He said, no, I don't need that. If God can't look at my life and recognize that I live this way, and he's going to judge me for that and not accept me, he said, I don't even want to be in heaven with him anyhow. I don't even want to be there anyhow, because what kind of God is that? The thing of it is this man brought God down to his level. His ways are above our ways. They're not the same. His thoughts, they're higher than our thoughts. You and I, when we get hurt, when we see something unjust, we want justice. That's right. Most of the time, that's how the carnal nature operates. But God, His thoughts are not our thoughts. He says, I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to redeem these people. See the difference? See how vastly different the two natures are? Don't bring God down to your level. He never will be. You know, just to clarify how He will never be on your level, each one of you are sitting on a chair today. What is your foot resting on? Floor? I want to tell you something, just to give you a little picture of this God that will never be on your level. He'll be a father to you if you repent. He'll take you as His child. He'll forgive you. And He'll cause you to prosper. But He'll never be on your level as a person. God, His throne is in the heavens. Where is His footstool? The earth is His footstool. You got a picture? He's not on your level. He's God. He's a creator. And yet He relates to us in a very fatherly level. He comes down and relates to us, but that still don't make Him, that don't limit Him like we are. And so I want to encourage you, get rid of that kind of thinking, because you'll never prosper. Today, if you're feeling the weight of sin, the beautiful invitation to come. But you know, you need to be thirsty. You need to be done with your life. That guilt that you're bearing, whatever it is, I want to invite you to come. You can sneak around your parents. You can sneak around the law of the land. But you'll never sneak around God. You'll never sneak around God. Yes, He saw you when you were committing that sin. Yes, He saw you when you were driving that direction. Yes, He saw you when you were sitting there thinking of how you're going to do whatever you want to do. He saw you. He heard. He saw an uncompassionate heart full of gossip. He saw that. Yeah, He heard you say prayer request. But He knows, because you won't fool Him. He's God. He sits in the heavens. The earth is His footstool. There's nothing hidden from Him. Life. He sees it. He sees this service today. He knows our thoughts that we are thinking. But I want to tell you something. Do you know the thoughts he's thinking? His thoughts that he wants to give you an expected end. He wants for you to have a successful journey through Jesus Christ and have life evermore. Those are his thoughts towards you. Reject it. Reject it. And God will honor his word. He will honor his word. Eternity without him. Forever and ever. He will. You want to come to him? God honors his word and says, come. I welcome you. You want to reject him? He honors his word. The lake of fire is the only thing that we have to look forward to. That's it. Nothing else. Nothing else. And friends, that's not even worth the little fun. The little pleasure that sin is going to give you for a season. It's not worth it. Forever and ever and ever. And we could sit here and say forever and ever and just take turns, keep it going the rest of our days. And it's still going on forever and ever. Where the worm dieth not and the flame isn't quenched. There isn't different temperature degrees. Your memory, oh, I wished. Oh, I wished. It's hot in here. I wish. God, one more chance. Nothing. Maybe a demon. You're here forever. But nothing else. No words of comfort. Friends, I'm telling you, it's not worth it. Life outside of God is not worth it. I lived it. Much regrets in my life. It's not worth it. Maybe you're here. You've made your commitment to God some time ago. And you have given yourself and allowed yourself to be hurt. You are now bitter. You're holding a grudge. You won't own up and admit that that is my fault. Those are my sins I have committed. But it's everybody else's fault. I won't take it. Maybe you had a business deal and you were very deceptive and you did wrong. Are we in different playing fields with sin? Or does God look at sin as sin? Will we be upright? Sir, I wronged you. I'm sorry. I did this. I shouldn't have done it. Righteousness, right living. Maybe you tell a lie, just a little white lie. It's not a big deal. Does God make a difference on the level of lies and deception? Does he? Is sin, can we put sin in categories? Not exactly. And so I want to encourage us that we are to... Hebrews 4 tells us, Hebrews 4 verse 9 maybe. Just see if I can find that verse. He says there's a rest for the people of God. He says to labor to enter into that rest. And then he also tells us in other scriptures to stand fast. He tells us to, he gives us the words of encouragement. To not grow lax, to not be deceived, not give up on your faith, not give up in the fight. I'm just paraphrasing different thoughts that we get from the scripture. He tells us those things. And so we need to fight. We need to contend for the faith. That means, in one aspect, that means, God, is there something here? Is there some business I need to do? Am I asking God, being open? God puts his finger on that and says, right here. I say, yes, Lord. I don't feel good. Yes, Lord, I know. Because you know that it's not about you. It's about his glory. It's about his glory. And he wants you to shine for him. You know, maybe we've fallen to a point where we don't have a good report from them that are without. That's a scriptural mandate for believers. For those that are going to be ordained, yes. But I believe it's completely through everybody. We're to have a good report. Be a pure testimony for a holy God. That's what we're to be to them that are without. You know, I was thinking, sometimes we see this. People make a confession, a profession, and we don't see change. They still have all the same unconverted friends. They're still laughing and carrying on with all the ungodliness. You don't see a change. Charles Hamilton said this. He saw a sign once. He was driving in town, I think it was, and the sign says, if nothing changes, nothing changes. Interesting thought. He was coming back, and the other side of that same sign says, if something changes, something changes. You know, when we give our lives to the Lord, according to this beautiful invitation here in Isaiah, there's going to be fruit. There's going to be a different life. There's going to be a distinctness that something changed. It's going to be there, friends. And so if you in your own life, you do any evaluation, you say, you know what, I don't feel like anything really changed. Well, call out to God. Call out to God. And read Isaiah 50, I think it's 58. It talks about fasting. Call out to God with some fasting. And He'll show you if something's changed or if nothing's changed. He will. Because He wants you to have life today. He wants you to experience the blessings He has for us today. You know, being a Christian, your blessings aren't just coming when you enter eternity with Him. Your blessings start now. With that invitation, come, I'll give you rest. All you that labor and are heavy laden, I've got this thing on my mind I can't get rid of. He says, come, come, I want to give you rest. Come. He's begging you to come. But He's not going to come get you. Because Revelation says it's for whosoever will may come. It's your choice to come. The invitation's there. He says, to come, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says to take His yoke upon you, and then what? Oh, I made the confession, then what? He says, learn of me. Learn of me. Get to know me. Get to know what I'm all about. Learn of me. He says, you know what else? I am meek and lowly. I'm meek and lowly. Those should be character traits that we should be demonstrating. Meek and lowly. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart. And you know what? Come, I will give you rest for your soul. For your soul. I'm going to give you rest. You don't have to continue struggling and fighting, but I'm going to give you rest. I want to encourage you to seek God and find life. You know, for us as believers, and unbelievers can do the same thing, but I was thinking of, Brother Ben shared a phrase with me last week. He said, when we look at matters and then we think about a situation and then we come up with a conclusion. And so, for instance, say I have a problem with gossiping. And someone maybe confronts me about it and I'm not willing to own it. And so therefore I look at this and I say, no, the conclusion of this matter was it was a prayer request. And so I keep this thing rolling. I keep the conclusion rolling in my mind. And the reason I'm doing that, instead of being honest and saying, you know what, you're right. A piece of that, I did want him to pray, but my flesh came up. I really wanted to tell Juice's story too. So we roll that conclusion in our mind for one reason. It's to convince ourselves. that we didn't sin. That makes sense? We roll that conclusion there to convince ourselves. And then we go off justified. We don't got to own it. Friends, for forgiveness to happen, we need to own it. We need to say, I've sinned. Truth, you don't have to do that with it. Run it around your head. It stands on its own 2 feet. And His name is Jesus. You don't got to justify Him for nothing. Truth is always truth. It stands on itself. You don't have to circle it and try to, you know, make sure this is right and this is right so it doesn't fall over. Truth won't fall over. It comes to the top and it shows itself true. So I want to encourage us. Let's not justify ourselves, but let's be free. Because the opposite of this offer of life is eternity, a Christless eternity forever. And I can't describe that to you either because it's too horrible. It says where the worm doesn't die, the flame is not quenched. It's a lake of fire. And I think another scripture talks about, I think it refers to sulfur. That putrid smell of sulfur burns. Those are just some of the things. And then you're there forever with those that are there. I want to encourage us today to take ownership of the wickedness in your life. Take ownership of your and take account for those unrighteous thoughts in your life. Don't cover them. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Isaiah 55 says, "Return to the Lord and find mercy and abundant pardon." Not just a little bit. Not just a little bit. But I'm talking all of it. An abundant pardon. Glory. I want to give us another verse to think on. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 5. And I want you to put your name in the blank. He wants to offer you mercy and an abundant pardon. He's offering you rest for your weary soul. He's offering that for you. But until you can see that you are undone in what He did for you, you won't take it. You need to know where you stand, and you need to be thirsty. You need to be thirsty. You need to be sick of your sin and want something else. You need to get there. But He was wounded for Noah's transgression. He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for Noah's iniquities. It was my sin that held Him there. Those nails never held Him to the cross, friends. He had the ability to call 12 legions of angels and to destroy the whole creation. It was all at His disposal. He could have done it. Those nails never held Him there. They didn't. It was my sin that held Him there. And if you were honest and you put your name in these blanks, it was your sin that held Him there too. Our sin. He was bruised for Noah's iniquity. The chastisement of Noah's peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, Noah was healed. And I can confess to you that I was healed. I have found deliverance. I have found a life that in my most carnal state, the pleasures of sin cannot even get close to the joy that I experience. I have found that. And I know that you as believers that are sold out to God and have can testify the same thing. You've found a greater joy now than what you had back then when you could do everything your carnal nature wanted to. And you say, how is that possible? Because right at first when I considered the kingdom, I thought that's going to be boring. That's going to be boring. But I don't know why, but it's not. It's not. For me, it's exciting. It's exciting. Watching people prosper and serving God, that's exciting. Just being in the kingdom and living with His people, it's exciting. It's exciting, friends. His word, He says, will not come back void. So today, I want to encourage you. You have heard His word. You have heard His word. For the believer, His word is inspiring. Amen? His word is encouraging. For the unbeliever, it's not so much. Matter of fact, you are judged already. You die and go before God. His word judged you already. I plead with you, if you're here today and you're not free, come and be free. There's rest for the people of God. There's rest for you as an unbeliever. If you are thirsty and sick of your sin, I want to invite you to come. Come. Don't put it off. Don't live with that guilt. Come. If you're thirsty, come. If you're thirsty, I want to invite you to come. The Spirit and the bride, they say come. And let him that heareth say come. And let him that is athirst, let him come. The other ones are calling out, come. But the thirsty one, come. Come. Realize that whosoever will, let him take from the water of life freely. Don't just come and get a little sip. Fill up. And then keep coming back to God and being full. Come. Find life. Find life. Can you say today, as John said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Or is there something, I'd like to say that. I mean, I can say it in front of you, but in here, that's what I'm asking. When you look in here, is there something that just says, yeah, even so, come, Lord Jesus. You all heard me say it, but in here, it's like, not quite yet. I do need to deal with this thing. I've got to take care of it. And whatever it is, you've got to deal with it. I want to invite you to come. To come and be free. You've been invited to come. To get rid of your burden. And to be free. To have rest. Everyone that is thirsty can do this. Come. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I, Jesus, will give you rest. Come, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Let's have fellowship. Let's have close communion. Learn of me. Learn of me. I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. That's who I am. I want you to learn who I am. And then I want you to go and show the world who I am. Let them see a meek and lowly heart. But He says, come, and I'll give you rest. Not just rest. He says, I'll give you rest for your soul. Your soul can have rest. Come, take my yoke. Take my yoke upon you. It's easy. My yoke is easy. And my burden, it's not that weight of oppression and sin, but it's light. It's light. I remember confessing sin one day from a store where, when I was a little boy, I stole a couple pieces of candy. I mean, they were tiny too. And as an adult, I went to that store And I said, I want to make restitution for this. And when I walked away from there, the vehicle was probably from here to maybe the corner of the property over here by the road. It felt like I reached that vehicle in 3 steps. The burden was light. I was literally floating. I went to my vehicle and it just felt like in 3 steps I was to my vehicle. I even marveled at it. I was like, it felt weird. But I'm sure I walked. But my mind had rest. My mind had rest. My burden was light. The weight of sin was gone. And I got to testify for the glory of God. Friends, come. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, but come. Come. Jonathan, could we have a song? The song that, Come As You Are. Would you know that song? You can lead that for us. And while he's leading us in that song, friends, if you have a need, please, please come. But if you're not thirsty, don't bother coming, because it's not going to bear fruit. It's not going to bring life. The roots won't go deep enough for you to even withstand. But you must be thirsty, and you're invited to come and be free. Lord bless.